today on Commitment to Truth.
Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. Many times the fellow believer wants God's favor only when things are going good. Anybody can do the right thing when everything's going good. But if you want God to move expeditiously in your exile, do good when things aren't going good. This finds favor with God.
Welcome to Commitment to Truth, the teaching ministry of Commitment Church, a place for all nations. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. Each week, Pastor Cedric Brown and the pastoral team at Commitment Church strive to draw you into a deeper relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here is Pastor Cedric, lead pastor of Commitment Church, with today's message.
Again, how do we find the Lord, where we are and where we don't want to be? Jeremiah 29, verses 1 through 14, if you could please turn there. And you're going to find the first answer to this question in verses 1 through 6. But again, as a reminder, the word seek means this: you will require, desire, or request me and find me. So we must get to a point that we require him, desire him, and request him. Not help, but him. Because when you get him, you get what? Right? Capital H, help. It says, when you search for me, in this verse 13, when you search, when you resort to or inquire of me, when you consult me with all of your heart. In other words, we have to make sure in every situation, every circumstance, that he is our first resort. You follow me? He's the first person, first thing we resort to all the time. He is whom we inquire of in every season. So when we start reading this passage, what I need all of us to do is this, is to listen, obey, and search. Oh, remember we talked about listening. They weren't listening. They weren't obeying last week. So we have to get to a point that we're our ears are open. We're leaning in. Remember we learned about bowing down to, submitting to. We're listening, we're obeying, and we're searching. Listening, obeying, and searching. So verses 1 through 6, it says this. Now these are the words of the letter which Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the rest of the elders of the exile, the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Now Babylonia, believe it or not, it's modern day Iraq. Put your finger in on a map. Okay, just to let you know geographically. It says, this was after King Jeconiah and the queen mother, the high officials, the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the metal workers had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of Elisha, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah, go figure, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, the king of Judah, sent to Babylon, to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, this is what the Lord of armies, the God of Israel, says to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses. Live in them. Plant gardens. Eat their produce. Take wives and father sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands so that they may give birth to sons and daughters and grow in number there and do not decrease. So when you look at this, what can we listen, obey, and search for? Like Israel, we must learn to live productively in exile. One of the first things happen when we're in an exile state is we get stuck on stupid. We forget everything we've learned. We forget everything we were obeying before exile, or we've seen others do. We forget everything. We just stop functioning so many times. Well, you don't understand how hard it is on me. Well, you don't know how it feels to me. Well, you know, you really think you're the only one with an injury? You're the only one with marital problems? That you're the only one with financial problems? That's pretty shallow to make it so much about you that you think you're the only one with loss. You're not the only one. I'm not the only one. We're not the only ones. And then what happens is we stop listening, we stop obeying, we stop searching. Well, you know, I can't believe my child is rebellious. Well, you're the only parent with rebellious children? You're the only one with anxiety? You're the only one that's been bullied in life? Like Israel, we must learn to live productively in exile. So the question is, but how? When you look at verse 1 and 2, it says, in summary, no matter where we are, we must still be the same productive people. The same productive people. Listen to verse 1. All the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. So there's this group of people that he took. And you know the kind of people he took? Productive people. How do I know? Verse 2. The court officials, the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the smiths had departed from Jerusalem. Every person who was productive in Jerusalem said, oh, guess what? You're going to help me build Babylon. Here are some of the productive people you may know. If you could turn now to Daniel chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Now among them, from the sons of Judah, sons of who? Were whom? Daniel. Hannah, don't panic with the names. You see Daniel. Believe it or not, Daniel, that wasn't Daniel's original name, just for the record. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the commanders of the official assigned new names to them. Now, these are the ones you may know. Okay? And to Daniel, he assigned the name Belshazzar, which some people don't know. That's the name they gave him. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. These young men were taken into exile, but maintained their productivity. And they're going to be weaving in this whole narrative together throughout our time. But here's the first glimpse of them, is that these people whom Nebuchadnezzar took in exile were productive in Judah, in Jerusalem, were same men and women who became productive where? In exile. They didn't stop serving. Right, one of the main things that happened with people is this, is that, well, I can't believe I'm going through problems, so I can't serve. Well, that's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. Can I let you into my life a little bit? You really think life is all like always perfect with me? But I still have to show up. I still have to show up. When Lisa and I have arguments, I still have to show up. When my kids, you know, when making stupid decisions, I still have to show up. When I pull my hamstring and was considering, how do I get up on that stage? Still got to show up. I mean, just as simple as that. You just got to show up. Right? So these productive people, then they were productive then, they're productive now, right? But then you look at verses 5 through 6. Again, when we are not where we want to be, we cannot, again, we're the same productive people, and we cannot stop being productive. And he began to show some productivity. Look at verse 5. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives, become the fathers of sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not what? So if you're decreasing because of your exile experience, two key words, verse 6 again, multiply there, become great there. No matter what you're in right now, become great in it. Do you see that, church? You may not be feeling good right now, but be great in it. It may not be fair for you right now, but be great in it. You may not want to be there and feeling it and experiencing it, but still be great in it. Don't decrease. Then you look at verse 6. It says, don't decrease. So don't diminish. Here's you see it on the screen. Don't give less. Again, what is the human nature? Start pulling back. Oh, you know, I've had to work 6 days a week, so you know, I'm gonna capitalize on this Sabbath. I mean, you look at COVID. You know what happens to the church? All the above. This was like an overarching exile experience, and the church just you know what I mean. It'd never be dismantled, but you start seeing the church's behavior decrease. But guess what we did do? Grocery stop. Anybody stop grocery shopping during COVID? Anybody stop going to work? You follow what I'm saying? You maybe the context changed a little bit, but you still worked. We get it, but we get it relatively speaking. If it's associated with me, to my benefit, well, I won't decrease. I'll go harder in it. But we have to become men and women that we cannot stop being productive. Amen. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 18 describes how we should be productive when we don't want to be and when it's unfair. Verse 13 says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Whether to a king, if he's Republican, or Democrat, or independent, as the one in authority, or to governors, as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right, for such is the will of God, that by doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men. But here's the deal. Christian, do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. In other words, you're committed to him solely. And he's going to make sure you do the right thing. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. Anybody having unreasonable bosses? Why is this so important? You see, because many times the fellow believer wants God's favor only when things are going good. But you want to shift your whole career path? Latch onto these verses because it says this. Let me back up to read verse 18 and then 19 in this context. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor. If for the sake of conscience towards God, a person bears up under sorrow when suffering unjustly, For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. Anybody can do the right thing when everything's going good. But if you want God to move expeditiously in your exile, do good when things aren't going good. This finds favor with God. But then, again, how do we find the Lord when we are where we don't want to be? Again, if you look further at verse number 7 today. Jeremiah chapter 29. Seek the prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Do you hear that? Seek the prosperity of whom? The city of where you are. So you can kind of say, you know what? You don't like that job. You don't like that customer. Your responsibility is to still do what? Do what's best for whom? Them. You don't like the condition that you're in. The responsibility is to still do what? What is good for that condition. Not change the condition and then I do right, but whatever condition I'm in, I will do right in it. Are you tracking with me, hopefully? So again, seek the prosperity of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord in its behalf. For in its prosperity will be your what? When you wrap your head and heart around that, it makes total sense to say, wow, that's bing, light bulb, right? Like, oh. So if I'm really speaking evil of the environment I'm in, well, reciprocally, what's going to happen to you? You're in it. But if you say, well, God, help me be a light. Help me be salt. Help me be a sweet aroma in this dark, dirty, smelly place. And when you do, guess what happens? Reciprocally, you benefit from it. It just changes the environment. So let's look deeper again. Like Israel, we must seek, listen, contentment in exile. It is so counter self, counter culture to say, wait a minute, I have to learn to be content in what I don't like? Yes, because the beauty of the gospel and the beauty of our relationship with Jesus is this. He will use the very thing that you don't like to make you more like him. But how does this look? Let's look at it again, verse 7. It says, when we're not where we want to be, we must again learn how to do this. Seek the benefit of where you are. How does this look? The word welfare means this. Seek the completeness, the safety, the soundness, the health, the prosperity. Then it goes on to say contentment, the friendship, the peace of where you are. So translate that to on the job. You don't like the people, you don't like the place. But have you started trying to develop friendships? Most of us don't. We start praying, can you get me out of this? Well, can you pray? Because I need a new job. That's how we handle it. Well, you know, I don't like the leadership of the company, so it's time for me to leave. And then we make decisions prematurely. Then we find ourselves many times in worse places because it really wasn't the environment, it was me in the environment that God was trying to change. That's why you see it in marriages so many times. People go from marriage. The data says after every marriage, the percentage of divorce increases because most people just won't humble themselves and learn. They won't obey. they won't listen. And there's tension that God will create in every circumstance to say, will you listen? Will you obey? Will you search for me? So when you look at this, it's like he promises in these exiled experiences that there is completeness that can be found. Safety, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, dumped into a fiery furnace, right? The heat increased, right? Five times as hot. The guys who put them in the furnace died. But who was in the furnace with them? Oh, there was a fourth person. That is called a Christophany, a pre-incarnation of Christ. He was in the furnace with them. And this is so deep. Anybody barbecue? Anybody sit around a fire pit? What's the first thing that happens to your body odor? You start smelling like what? What you've been in. The scriptures are so detailed. It says this. Not even a smell of smoke was on them. You ever tried to put a log in a fire and you singe your hair? Even says not even the hair on their body was singed. They're in exile, in Babylonian captivity, don't want to be there, but they are still protected. But you got to listen, you got to obey, and you got to seek him. In Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 through 24, King Nebuchadnezzar had a troubling dream, and all the soothsayers, sorcerers, conjurers, these are all the non-prophetic people that the type of king will seek after. The Chaldeans, which was pretty much that group of people in that region, were commanded this by King Nebuchadnezzar beginning in verses 5 through 6. And you can actually turn there if you like, Daniel chapter 2. Verse 5 and 6, it says, the command from me is firm. This is Nebuchadnezzar talking to all these sorcerers, conjurers, soothsayers. It says, if you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you'll be torn limb for limb, and your houses would be made a rubbish heap. No pressure, right? It says, but if you declare the dream and its interpretation, you'll receive from me gifts and reward and great honor. Therefore, declare to me the dream and its interpretation. No pressure. Then they began to stall the king and negotiate with him. And he finds them out. So if you fast forward to verses 10 and 11, the Chaldeans answered the king and said, there is not a man on earth who could declare the matter to the king, for the king. This is how God will tee you up. You'll be in a situation that is so horrible, everybody around you will not have answers. But behold, God will have you in that situation to bring what? The answer. And this is what begins to manifest. So it says, inasmuch as no great king or ruler has ever asked anything like this of any magician, conjurer, or Chaldean. Moreover, the thing which the king demands is difficult, and there is no one else who could declare it to the king except gods, whom dwelling places not with mortal flesh. Huh? Right? I mean, it's just like God is just like working it out and saying, I'm going to tee it up for my glory. It's so cool when you read this. Then Daniel enters the scene. To do what? Give himself glory? No. You know what his main goal was? To seek the well-being of the king and those around the king. Even those non-prophets, if you would, heretics. So let's read verses 14 through 16. Then Daniel replied with discretion and discernment to Arioch, the captain of the king's bodyguard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He said to Arioch, the king's officer, for what reason is the decree from the king so harsh? Then Arioch informed Daniel of the matter. So Daniel went in and requested of the king that he will give him grace, a grace period, so that he might declare the interpretation to the king. Immediately put himself in the mix of it to say, hey, king, give me an opportunity. I can have an answer for you. But then you find this. So that's the seeking the well-being, right, of where you are in exile. But then here's the other part. Remember the challenges? You seek the well-being, we learn in Jeremiah 29, but then you do what? Pray. In other words, you have to do something about it, and you must pray something about it. So that's why when you look at verse 7b, it says, pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in his welfare, again, this is Jeremiah 29, you will have welfare. The word pray means this, intercede and meditate on behalf of where you are. Don't talk about where you are. Don't badmouth where you are, but intercede for its behalf. But then it says you will have welfare. In other words, you will establish welfare. And understand that, church, is that when you do the right thing, pray the right thing, you're establishing the well-being and the welfare of the environment of everybody around you, which includes whom? You. So let's continue reading. Daniel chapter 2, verses 17 through 27. It says, then Daniel went to his house and informed his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we now know, about this matter. So think about it. He's now bringing it home to his buddies and say, hey, guys, this is what we're up against. Now, two choices. They can now have this pity party among themselves and said, I can't believe it. God sent us here. Oh God, where are you? You put me in this exile. I can't believe it. Here we are. We're about to be killed. Or it says what? Again, he informed his friends, verse 18, so that they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his friends would not be killed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel said, may the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belongs to him. It is he who changes the times and the periods. He removes kings and appoints kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to people of understanding. It is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and power. Even now, you have made known to me what we requested of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. Seek the well-being. Pray for the well-being. Don't just relocate. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, this is all bad. It's all bad. I can't believe it. Oh, it's going to hell in a handbasket. Oh, pew, exit, stage right. Then let's read 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Because it reminds us in a similar way. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgivings be made known on behalf of whom? All men. All men. People, for kings and all who are in authority. Why? Listen to this, church. Why? So that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And what happened to King Nebuchadnezzar? He came to the knowledge of truth, of the one true living God. How many employers, how many leaders in your life need you to fully engage in your exile? How many people around you need you and I to pray for them and intercede for them that God would do miracles? and so that you can live a peaceful and a tranquil life. God wants that for you. But you never get peace by leaving the environment, by just saying, God, prayer is like, God, get me out of this. No, you're in it. What can I learn? How can I obey? And how can I search for you and seek you? Amen.
Hello, my name is Sarah Vega, and I am the Administrative and Executive Director here at Commitment Church. I hope you've enjoyed today's message by Pastor Cedric Brown. If you didn't know, Pastor Cedric also sends out encouraging videos weekly. We call these the Weekly Wire. The acronym WIRE means Weekly Inspiration, Refreshment, and Encouragement. We can send these encouraging videos directly to you by subscribing at www.loveallnations.org. Again, that's www.loveallnations.org. Here's an example of the encouragement you'll receive.
Hey everybody, this is Pastor Cedric of Commitment Church with another Weekly Wire. Have you ever gone through life wondering how important you are to God or to anyone? Are you at a place in your life that you feel unappreciated, unvaluable? Well, listen to this. There's a Bible verse that says that God has numbered all the stars and he has given each one of them a name. Think about that. He's numbered all the stars seen by our eyes, unseen by our natural eyes or some technology. And he has named each single one of those stars. So if God is paying attention to the details of stars and naming them, don't you think he knows you by name? Don't you think that you are even more valuable than the stars in the skies? So the next time you feel down in the dumps, maybe the next time you feel that you are unappreciated, please know that God so appreciates you and that you are so over and beyond more important than the stars in the skies, that he knows by name and he is counting day in and day out. God has numbered you and you're special to him. Matter of fact, you're probably number one in his eyes. If you know anyone else in your life that probably is feeling discouraged, feeling unappreciated, can you pass this video on to them that they may find hope in knowing that if God is so numbered and named the stars in the heaven, he so know you and them by name. Please stay encouraged and know that you're valuable in the eyes of God.
We hope you enjoyed this sample of our Weekly Wire. Again, to subscribe to your weekly inspiration, refreshment, and encouragement, please visit www.loveallnations.org. Again, that's www.loveallnations.org.
Thank you for listening to Commitment to Truth, the teaching ministry of Commitment Church, a place for all nations. If you want to listen to the previous messages in this series, or if you want to hear messages from other series, visit Commitment Church on YouTube or Pastor Cedric Brown on Spotify, Pandora, or other podcast providers. You can also visit us on our website, commitmentchurch.org. And if you live in the Philadelphia, Delaware, or South Jersey area, we would love to see you in person as well. You can attend any of our services by visiting us at 2 Berlin Road South, Lindenwald, New Jersey, 08021. Thank you again for listening, and have a blessed and wonderful day.